Good morning. It's time once again for Between the Lines on WSLR 96.5, your community station. I'm your host, Gary O. And on this program, we explore in-depth news events and topics of interest about Sarasota with news writers and newsmakers from our area. Ideas expressed in this program do not reflect the position of WSLR station management or board of directors. Between the Lines is being brought to you by the Banyan Theater Company, which will be presenting their first play this summer, starting this week at the Jane B. Cook Theater in Sarasota. For details about attending the productions, all three of them this summer, get more information at 941-358-5330 or website www.banyantheatercompany.com. Well, as always, we like to start off the program with a little bit of news information for you. Sarasota has lost one of its key people, somebody who's done a lot for the community, and that is Kay Glasser, passing away at age 91. A big loss for Sarasota. Sarasota's cutting more jobs. Yes, 13 workers will be laid off as part of a move to save $1.8 million. Trash collection in the city going to be changed from twice a week to once a week. And the bad news as part of that, about 35 jobs are going to be cut as part of this process. Well, as I've said several times before in this time slot, pulling the trash cans off the beach was going to make people angry, and it did, and it's made a mess. I don't know who thinks up these things. You know, they say, well, let's take the trash cans off the beach because the birds are making a mess out of them out there. Bring the trash cans back to the parking lot, and all the people on the beach don't have anywhere to put their trash, so what do they do with it? They leave it on the beach, of course, and now you got a bigger mess. The Herald Tribune, we'd like to thank you, Herald Tribune. Three reporters, Michael Braga, Chris Davis, and Matthew Doig, did a wonderful job about a year ago exposing the flipping scandal, and now they're getting some accolades for it. In the annual Florida Society of News Editors statewide journalism contest for work published in 2009, they certainly deserve it, as does Paige St. John, who was on the air with us a few weeks ago discussing the insurance problem or scandal, I think it's a scandal, in the state of Florida. Well, stadium construction on the revised Ed Smith Stadium is going to get underway. They have a plan to finish it, a completion date in May of 2011, despite the legal ramifications of all of the things going on. That construction will get underway. And Sheriff Bill Balkwill, of course, this story has been behind the scenes for a while, but the ex-sheriff destroyed evidence, according to the judge. You can see that in the paper from a few days ago. Very stupid thing to do, destroying the information on the laptop. And the mystery gets thicker here. What's going to happen to Bill Balkwill because of all of this? We shall see. And that's a little bit about what's going on in Sarasota. And now we'd like to get with our guests for this morning. We have three guests with us this morning. We're delighted to have folks from the YMCA of Sarasota. We have Paul Smith, Ed McBride, and Layla McCarty. Welcome, folks. We're delighted to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. It's good to be here.
Paul is the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Sarasota Family YMCA. Ed McBride is with the Safe Children Coalition, and Layla McCarty is Director of the new Kalish House Resource Center, and we're going to be talking about all of these things this morning. I'd like to start with you, Paul, and that is, as the President and Chief Executive Officer, you joined the Sarasota YMCA about a year ago when Carl Weinrich retired. Give us a little bit about your background. Did you spend time with the YMCAs in other parts of the country? How much do you know about the local situation here?
Well, Gary, I actually grew up in western New York, near the Buffalo area, most of my life. And after high school, I decided to join the United States Air Force, and I spent 4 years in California at that service. My YMCA background actually goes back 23 years, where I joined the Rochester Association back in 1987. and I spent 10 years there. After Rochester, I moved to Kansas City and joined that YMCA, and I spent 12 years there as the chief operations officer. And then I've so far spent 1 year here in Sarasota.
So you have a very rich background in the YMCA.
I have a lot of experience with YMCAs, and in addition to those two other places I've served, of course, YMCA is a close-knit family, and we talk amongst ourselves and visit each other, so I know a little bit about what YMCAs are doing around other parts of the country.
Well, as the president and CEO, what do you do for the Y, and what are your responsibilities?
Well, my main responsibility is to lead the organization and carry out the policies set forth by our board of directors. And in addition to that, I see my role as to provide resources to our directors to allow them to carry out their programs. I'm also the main spokesman for the Y.
Okay, very good. Ed, why don't you introduce yourself to the group and tell us what you do with the Safe Children's Coalition.
Good morning, Gary. I am actually Vice President of Community-Based Care Operations for the Y, and my sole responsibility is running the three-county Safe Children Coalition. Like all other Y programs, social mission-driven programs, they have a name, and that is our name that basically takes into account all the different agencies that come together as a coalition that we contract with to operate the foster care program in Sarasota, Manatee, and DeSoto counties.
We're going to get into a little bit more of what you do and how these programs work, but we would like to get Layla into the conversation. Layla, you're head of the new Kalish Resource Center, the Kalish House Resource Center, and very briefly, can you tell us what that is all about?
Basically, the Kalish Resource Center is, we like it to be a one-stop shop for our independent living youth to come and access resources, you know, make it a place of their own, some place where they can call their own and feel safe to come while they're in care and when they age out of care. So,
this is a new activity, is that correct?
That is correct. We've been open since May 3rd.
May 3rd, okay.
Yes.
Have you had your grand opening yet?
Yes, we did. We had it actually on May 3rd, and we've been up and running since that date.
Very good. Well, now you've gotten an introduction to the three guests that we have this morning. Paul, I'd like to spend a little bit of time with you. Amongst people in the know, the feeling seems to be, oh, well, the Y is just a gymnasium, and that is absolutely not correct, and I'd like you to elaborate on what the YMCA does for Sarasota and the surrounding communities.
Well, that's true. Most people do get introduced to the Y through our fitness centers, our pools, and our youth sports programs. And we do those programs very well. But when you look at the history of the YMCA, fitness is only a part of who we are. We have always been about strengthening our community and not just building strong bodies. But locally here in Sarasota, that outreach is exemplified by our Runaway Youth Shelter, our free family counseling services, the alternative school that we run called Triad, and we do that in conjunction with the Sarasota County Schools. And we also offer after-school and mentoring programs for elementary through high school students, and of course, we have our foster care program. And we have a commitment to social responsibility to the folks of Sarasota.
Is this true of YMCAs across the country now, or is this something that is really special here?
Well, in many aspects, it's something that's really special here and something that the Sarasota Family YMCA is known for around the country. There are other YMCAs that have programs like YMCA Achievers Program, but as far as foster care and some of the other outreach services that we have, it's pretty unique to Sarasota.
I'd like to go into the foster care program. Now, you being here just a year, some of the background may be a little bit foggy to you. I know Ed has been here for some time, and maybe he can elaborate how we got into heavy foster care in Sarasota and other counties surrounding.
Well, Gary, actually, and this is something I think folks in Sarasota should be very proud of, the privatization of the state's child welfare system started here in Sarasota. It began with a discussion that Carl Weinrich had with Jeb Bush back in the early 90s. And eventually led to Sarasota being the first county that was privatized. and it eventually and very quickly became known as community-based care throughout Florida. Manatee County followed that, and then DeSoto County. And what makes sense about those three counties being combined is in the state we have different court circuits, and as much as possible they try to align the community-based care agency with the court circuits, and this is known as Circuit 12. So we would have Judge Hayworth as the chief judge for this entire circuit. The DJJ, Department of Juvenile Justice Programs, operate on that basis. The Guardian Ad Litem program. So it makes it a lot more sense for us to work with those partners because we're all working with the same divisions.
Now, as I remember, Jeb Bush wanted this to be the pilot program here in Sarasota, and he wanted to expand it to a statewide model. Did that take place?
Yes, there are now about 22 community-based care agencies, the entire state system for foster care and adoptive services has been privatized.
Now, for a while, our local operation helped out in some of the northern counties around Tampa, is that correct?
Pinellas and Pasco, we operated up there for 4 years, and it's been about 2 years since we've been there. And we're focusing 100% now on these three counties.
Excellent, excellent. There was a change in foster care attitude from the state, I believe, in the past few years. For a while, there was a feeling that in an abusive environment, a child should be removed from the home. I think that concept has changed, hasn't it, in the past couple of years?
Yes, in fact, and I'm glad you brought that up, because over this past year, we've invested close to $1 million and served, through April, 2,500 children in what we call diversion programs that we contract for. And these are services that are engaged by the protective investigators that go out and investigate abuse. And when they feel a situation warrants services without removing a child, then they're referred to diversion. It's been a very successful program. It's happening around the state, and it's one of the reasons that the numbers of children coming into the system have gone down in Florida as they have nationally.
Now, for a number of years, the Y sponsored local shelters and activities on behalf of kids who did not have good parents or did not have parents, kids that were forced to live on the street or forced to live in an abusive environment. I worked with one of those shelters, a boys' shelter, which was the original Kalish House. There were others called Character House and Bowman Ranch. Tell us a little bit about what they did and why they are no longer operating as they were before.
Gary, those are residential programs. They were great programs. Again, they showed the wise commitment to providing those kind of services because there are no other providers of those services in Sarasota County. There's been a real paradigm shift in the state in recent years and a de-emphasis on placing youth in group care. And as a result of that, we're working a lot harder to get them placed in foster homes and to move them out of the system as quickly as we can, as long as we can do that in a safe way. So with the demand going down, it wasn't viable to keep those programs operating. So Bowman Ranch and our transitional living program and Kalish as a residential program closed, and which is what made it possible for us to reopen that program with a different emphasis.
Now, I'm sure these programs are very expensive to operate, and in hard times like these, doubly difficult to operate. Where do you get the money to support these kinds of programs which are beneficial to the community and to the kids?
Our contract with the state provides funding for board payments. Unfortunately, with many residential programs, the rates that we pay stayed pretty stagnant and didn't increase. And at some point in time, the market demanded that we had to try and find the most affordable placements. And that means that the provider of the services, in this case the Y, would have to supplement that with other funding. And at times, there's only so far you can go and do that before it's just not a viable operation to run any longer.
What are some of the community beneficial programs still in operation?
Well, the shelter is certainly very helpful to us. Of course, it's a runaway shelter, but we also place children that come into the foster care system there. We integrate our programs as much as possible with other Y programs. The YMCA provides family memberships to all of our 150 foster families, which gives them the opportunity to take advantage of all the services that the Y has to offer on the fitness side. The Y has sponsored our Christmas party every year for our foster children. We have what's called a back-to-school bash at our Evelyn Sadlier Jones branch. So we work as much as possible with the other Y mission-driven programs to really make this a cohesive partnership.
What is a HIPPE? I've heard about the HIPPE program, and I've heard that that is really an excellent vehicle.
Well, that's true, Gary. HIPPE program stands for home-based, it's a home-based early childhood education program for 3-year-olds to 5-year-olds. And what we actually do is we send volunteers out into the community, into people's homes, and we teach them how to be their child's first teacher.
Hmm.
And one example that was played on me the other day was that I played the role of a 3-year-old. And the counselor came in and worked with my parent and actually went through a book and taught them how to read it to their child, how to interact with their child. So not only is it giving kids who can't afford to go to preschool the opportunity that when they get to kindergarten, they're just as prepared as the other kids, it allows them to interact with their child, develop that bond and relationship, and give those kids a leg up when they start kindergarten.
This is really essential, isn't it, during formative years that the kids get this kind of interaction?
Absolutely. I mean, the kids show a real eagerness to learn at that age, and they want to do well, and they want to excel. They want to please their parents, and they want to get praise. So it is an excellent program to get them ready for school and get them enthusiastic about learning.
Okay, we're going to take a little musical break now. We are talking with Paul Smith, Ed McBride, and Layla McCarty of the YMCA of Sarasota. We're going to be back, and we're going to explore some of these issues in a little bit more depth and find out a little bit more about what the YMCA does for Sarasota and the surrounding communities. We'd like to tell you about a few things going on in the community. The Big Cat Habitat. Hard to pronounce that. Big Cat Habitat. Sunset Safaris are underway. We talked a lot about the Big Cat Habitat on WSLR. And we had the Rosaires on the air here. They've actually underwritten some programs here. If you haven't been out there, you should go out there during this season and see all of the animals that they have taken in. Lions, tigers, bears. Very interesting. And they have a nice show that they put on out there. Well, during the hot season of the year, and this is definitely the hot season, it's summer now, folks. Big Cat Habitat is conducting guided sunset safaris Friday and Saturday evenings through October. They have educational animal demonstrations included, and these start at 6 o'clock in the evening. And you can call up 371-6377, talk to Kay Rosaire, or leave a message out there, and find out how much it costs you to go on a Big Cat Habitat sunset safari. And here's some more information for you. Sarasota County Master Gardener Program is accepting applications for its next session, which begins September 3rd. The deadline is past June 11th, but I bet they'd let you in. Sure they will. Master Gardener classes meet one day a week, per week, through December 3rd, and there are several field trips included. So you want to check that out, and the number to call is 861-9900. Tell them Gary O said that you should be allowed in the program because you listen to WSLR. How's that? And once again, this is WSLR in Sarasota, and we are talking with folks from the YMCA in Sarasota this morning, learning all about what they do in addition to what you think they do, which is providing gym and athletic facilities. They do all kinds of things in Sarasota, and we have with us Paul Smith, Ed McBride, and Layla McCarty. Let's get back into our conversation once again and explore in depth some of the things that the Safe Children Coalition does.
Hey, Gary, well, as I said earlier, the coalition is group of agencies working together. The YMCA is considered the lead agency. That's a term that the state assigns to us because we have the contract with the state of Florida. But we subcontract out case management services. In our three counties, we have a total of 78 case managers. And then the Y, as the lead agency, provides many of the support services to the entire project. We have staff that handle the data entry, the various payments and fiscal responsibilities, and paying board payments to our foster parents. We do the licensing and of our foster homes and the placement of our children, and we oversee the adoption piece as well. And then we also contract with support services to go in and teach parenting and provide interventions in families. It's really our goal to do everything we can to keep children from entering the system deep in. And when that's possible, we do that. When it's not, it is our goal to find permanency, safety, and well-being for our children.
This sounds like a huge endeavor that really requires a lot of attention, a lot of focus. Have your programs suffered with the financial setbacks in the economy over the past few years?
Well, no. Other than the previously stated fact that our residential programs had to shut down, our other programs and services on a go-forward basis were going to remain open. We're going to offer all our programs and services next year, and our fiscal year starts in July and runs through June. So we've already completed our budget, our board has approved it, and I'm happy to say that we're going to continue all of our programs and services into the next year.
Ed, how many kids does this group of programs that you handle, how many kids do they run through in a year?
Well, in a year, it probably unduplicated adds up to anywhere from 1,600 to 1,700 children who are in the system. Those are ones that are case managed by us. At any given time, it's generally between 1,100 and 1,200.
Oh, there were a number of shelters we talked about before, the Bowman Ranch, the Kalish House. Can you tell us very briefly what each of these did? Because I don't think people in the community really understood the scope of what these operations performed for kids in the community. And I have to say, I know a lot of people don't really realize the depth of the problem. We have a lot of kids that have just been totally mistreated. They've had parents on drugs, on alcohol, many of them living on the street. And of course, I became acquainted with this with my work with the Kalish House and setting up activities for the boys over there. But can you elaborate just a little bit?
Well, in those Y programs, Gary, they weren't just three hots in a cot, so to speak. Those are programs that had additional behavioral overlay services and really tried to work on helping that youth become independent to the point where they would no longer need to be in a group facility, where they'd be ready to go back into a family home. And again, one of the advantages, and it's something that you referred to is your involvement, was that the Community Coalition, which is part of the Y Foundation, had board members that were very actively involved in those programs. And that was a real advantage to the youth as well, because it gave them some additional outside activities and interest that isn't always there in typical group care.
I'd like to turn the microphone over to Layla now and ask her about the Kalish House Resource Center. What is it? It's just been recently opened, as you said before. What does it do for the young people of our community who are in need?
Thanks, Gary, for having me here to talk about this program. I'm super excited about it because this program, we want to be, like I said before, a one-stop shop for our independent living youth, which actually start at the age of 13 and continue until they age out at 23. So we have a huge range of age of kids. And currently what we have going on right now is kids can come and work on their, they can do GED prep there, and we have FCAT prep, and the kids also have access to Florida Virtual School where they can do a lot of credit recovery, which, you know, unfortunately sometimes our kids, when they're removed or they change placements, every move that they make in a school, they lose 6 months of education. So it's a lot of our kids have to access Florida Virtual School for some credit recovery.
Is this meant to be a fun environment, or is it serious business over there?
It's both. You know, a lot of our kids want to come and have fun, but it's not a hangout. We don't have Xbox or anything like that, but we do have some fun trainings. We just had a CPR training, and we had 13 kids certified in CPR, so they can all save your life if they needed. We actually have some informational sessions, too. We have one coming up about the you know, the epidemic of the prescription pill abuse, which is really big in our community.
Yes,
so,
that's right.
You know, so we have a lot of, you know, we have fun things to do. We have serious things to discuss, too. And we do life skills trainings for the kids. You know, money management, which is huge.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that because, you know, growing up, I had parents who, you know, taught me a lot of things. And a lot of these young people have not had guidance from adults or mentors to show them how to balance a checkbook, how to keep their funds in order, how to even, in many cases, wash their clothes or prepare a small meal.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, that's what our training is focused on. We actually have a training coming up, and Publix was great enough to host a beginner training class for us in cooking. So they're going to be going over the basics, like food temperature, how to defrost, you know, certain meats, and so that's going to be, that's coming up on July 2nd, and, you know, so we try to have fun. We had a great training we did, too, with the Disney Give a Day, Get a Day, and the kids came and made blankets for shelter cats, and they all got a free day at Disney, and they had a blast. So, you know, sometimes these kids, you know, they may never have ever have that opportunity to go to Disney ever, so we do a lot of fun stuff. We actually have... you know, for the older kids, we want them to be able to come there and not feel pressure or feel like, you know, we are part of the, you know, part of the child welfare system, but we want it to be a safe place for them. So we want to be able to help them and access community resources that a lot of them need, but just don't really want to ask. So we want to be that safe place for them.
Well, you mentioned older kids, and you mentioned the age 23, and I think most people would respond to that by saying, well, gee, that's pretty old. I mean, the general concept is you can do anything when you become 21, so you're still assisting kids that are 22 and 23 years old. Why?
Well, you know, it's a known fact that a lot of our, you know, when we're younger, 18, 19, 20, we have family. They need that continuing support, and that is a big problem for a lot of our kids. We haven't, we've kind of, you know, failed them in a way, but we're trying to recoup that, and the fact that building their support networks before they're out of care. So that's a big thing for us. Not just us being their supports, but, you know, whether it be a friend or a teacher. So when they're 23 and on their own, they're going to have their own support network, and that's a big thing for them, and they don't always realize that they need those supports when they're 16 and 17. And they don't realize how much is actually done for them until they age out, and then they come back sometimes.
Where does the funding for the Resource Center come from?
Gary, I'll try and answer that question. Our contract is able to pay for all the expenses related to the Resource Center because we have funding for these IL youth. And one of the things I wanted to add to what Layla was saying, at that at the point where we use the term age out of foster care at 18, the youth that are eligible, attending school, working, really making an effort to take responsible actions for their life, are eligible for what we call a Road to Independence stipend. And I believe it's $1,200 and some dollars a month.
The maximum.
The maximum amount. And we have to redetermine that based on certain criteria provided by the state. They get a free college education in the state of Florida. And this assists them in finding an apartment, in meeting their living expenses. And do you know, Layla, about how many we have right now that we're paying Road to Independence?
Road to Independence, we have a total of 41 in Road to Independence.
Very good. How about bringing in mentors to work with some of these young people?
We do work with, we have two mentoring groups that we work with closely. We have Joy and we have Next Step, and Next Step's based in Manatee County. So we do. We have them come in and they meet with the kids, and we go to their functions as well. So we do work with mentors. But, you know, the kids are, you know, if they have somebody that they want to work with that's outside of that scope, that's fine too. And, you know, we'll work with them and invite them to things, you know, anything to help the kids, you know, feel comfortable.
If somebody were listening to this broadcast and they said, this sounds like a great program, I'd like to help, I'd like to be a mentor, I'd like to make a donation, I'd like to take part and possibly help with what they're doing at the Kalish House Resource Center, who would they call?
They can contact me at the Resource Center, and that number is 941-312-4261.
Okay, and possibly you have a website contact they could go to that would have a little bit of information about this? I know I realize that the Kalish House Resource Center is new, so you may not have that up yet, but I'd like to get as much information as possible out to the public.
Gary, we're going to be working on getting more on the website, but we also have an email address, which is kalishhouse@sarasota-ymca.org. So they can also email Layla. That will go directly to her.
Okay, very good. I'd like to change saddles here for a moment and talk about the YMCA Foundation. How does the YMCA Foundation relate to the YMCA of Sarasota?
Well, Gary, the YMCA Foundation of Sarasota is its own separate 501c3 nonprofit direct service organization, and their sole function is to serve the Sarasota Family YMCA. They have their own board of trustees, 23-member board, and they have their own president and CEO, and that is Karen Gustafson, who's been the president and CEO there for the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's their job to promote friendships, solicit gifts, to benefit our numerous programs and services at the YMCA. They are involved in fundraising for endowment, for capital campaigns, major gifts, annual gifts, and scholarship support. And as many of your listeners may know, each May the foundation does conduct what they call a Going for the Gold, recently changed to Element AU. It's a black tie dinner and auction, and raises a lot of money for our YMCA. They also have a organization called the Premium Estate Liquidators, which is manned by volunteers, and they sell, they actually liquidate estate sales, and that money then goes to the YMCA programs as well. So very active and involved foundation that helps us out tremendously.
And once again, if somebody is interested in supporting the foundation's efforts, who would they contact?
Well, they can contact Karen Gustafson, and that number is 941-951-1336.
Very good. Very good. We're going to open the phone lines here. If anybody out there listening would like to call in and talk to Paul or Ed or Layla or participate in a little dialogue with them about what the YMCA does in Sarasota, call in. That number again is 355-4540, and we will put you on the line with us at WSLR LPFM 96.5 in Sarasota. You're listening to Between the Lines. We're talking with the folks from the YMCA in Sarasota, Paul Smith, Ed McBride, and Layla McCarty. Let's go in a little bit different direction. These have been tough years for everybody in Sarasota and across our great nation, and the YMCA is certainly no exception. You've had a lot of difficulties in a weak economy, and how are you coping with that, and what are you doing to try to keep your services moving ahead?
Well, Gary, as I mentioned before, that we are heading into a new fiscal year, and in that budget, none of our programs or services are going to be affected. We've had to tighten our belt, just like any other organization. If you take a look at what's happened here in the country and Sarasota, back in June of 07, you could see the unemployment rate rise dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
And it has risen every year since then. So we've gone from a low of an unemployment rate of around under 4% all the way up to over to 12%. And just recently, the figures have come in at around 11.7% for Sarasota itself. So just like any other business, we've had to tighten our belts, reduce our expenses. And actually, we've gone out on the offensive in some ways in trying to get focus more of our attention on fundraising on an annual basis.
Mm-hmm.
So we have what we call the Strong Kids Campaign. And last year, the Strong Kids Campaign netted about $80,000. This year, we raised about $190,000 through a concerted effort that involved mainly volunteers. So we had volunteers who were friendly to the Y, wanting to get out there and help out in any way they can. And through their increased efforts and focus, we were able to significantly increase the annual donations.
What is the Strong Kids Campaign in detail?
Well, Strong Kids Campaign is an annual campaign conducted with the help of our foundation. that raises money on an annual basis for helping people subsidize their memberships, helping with our other programs, such as YMCA Achievers, the Hippie Program, and so on and so forth. And the fact that the YMCA wants everybody who wants to be a member, if they can't afford the fees that we charge, then we offer financial assistance to allow them to come in, and based upon their income and their situation, they're able to be a member of the Y.
Great. One of the big problems, I think, from hearing various members of the Y speak, is that memberships are the lifeblood of income to the YMCA. Your memberships have fallen significantly because of the economy. And how are you dealing with this? How are you trying to recoup the lost revenue?
Well, you know, it's not going to improve really anytime soon. As people's disposable income has been reduced, they need to make decisions on how they're going to spend that. And so until the economy actually improves, the unemployment rate comes back down, there probably won't be any significant improvement in our membership numbers. However, we are going to start focusing mainly on prior members, people who used to be members and for whatever reason are no longer members. So we're going to be actively involving them and trying to get them back. You know, with the population in Sarasota shrinking,
yeah,
and not expanding, there's no new people out there that or very few that we can go after to try to get them to become members. But membership is our lifeblood, and that is something we'll be focusing on as we go through the next couple of years.
So you will have different kinds of campaigns and promotions to try to bring people back to the YMCA, particularly people who have left or have canceled their membership for financial reasons, try to give them some kind of incentive to come back, which will help the entire program and the programs it supports move back up.
Absolutely. And we do have a program that's in effect right now. Anybody who has a family membership, whether they join now or they already have a family membership, we have given them free swim lessons this summer. And that has proven to be very effective. Last year we had about 200 people take swim lessons during this time. This year it's up over 500. So that's been very well received. We want to give our members value. And so whatever value we can give them and entice them to remain a member is part of our strategy.
Excellent. The program is Between the Lines, and we have three guests from the YMCA with us today, Paul Smith, Ed McBride, and Layla McCarty. We're going to kind of wrap up here. I think we have a call coming in. We'll put them on the line. Good morning. You're on WSLR.
Yes, hi. I had a question for Paul Smith.
Okay.
He mentioned programs that are offered at the gym for families, but what does he have for adults to do?
Well, we have a lot of programs for adults. Our memberships are kind of all-inclusive. And once you join as an adult, you can take part in things like racquetball. There's group exercise classes. There's just a lot of things for adults to do at our YMCA. And in addition to programs that we offer, you can use any one of our facilities. We have three in the Sarasota area and one out in Wauchula County. So your membership is all-inclusive of all of our services, and you can use them in any one of our facilities at any time.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Let's kind of go into a wrap-up mode here and talk about the future plans that the Y has as far as expanding services, many changes in operation that you're contemplating. Adjustments in foster care activity, new directions in community services. I'll just open up the whole bag for you.
Well, in this period of uncertainty, we are going to just try to focus on servicing the needs of Sarasota County in any way that we can.
Okay.
Recognizing that there are a lot of very well-run nonprofit agencies here doing a lot of good things. We don't want to duplicate services that they're currently doing. But we want to even help support them in their activities, and knowing that the YMCA doesn't have to be everything to everybody. So there's not going to be any real drastic changes in what we're doing today over the next year or so, but we're also open to any opportunities that are out there for us to do some additional programming. I will let you know that an opportunity did come our way recently, working with disabled veterans in the area. Mm-hmm. We have a program out at our ESJ branch, which is located out at Potter Park, and we have a water exercise class for disabled vets that's taking off and doing very well. That is something new that came to us. That is something that we decided to take on. There's nobody in Sarasota that does aquatics better than the YMCA, and so we're very happy to do that for our veterans.
Tell the community a little bit more about this giant pool that you have out there at the South YMCA. It's really quite a nice water park, and maybe all the people don't really know what's there.
Well, it is a huge water park. It's called the Selby Aquatic Center, and we have a large 50-meter pool. And in addition to that, we have a splash park and water park there. It's currently open, and it's free to our members. They can show up and use it at any time that we're open. And then if members of the community wanted to come in for a day or whatever, we do have a daily rate that they can also participate.
Is that open year-round?
No, it's not. The pool is actually open year-round. But the water park is only open during the summertime.
Okay. Now, talking about the three Ys in the Sarasota area here, the one at the south features an indoor pool and an outdoor pool, correct?
That is correct.
And then the other two YMCAs, do they also have pools or not?
Well, our downtown location does not have a pool. We're located in the Hollywood 20 Plaza. On the second floor, we don't have a pool there. But we do have a large indoor pool at our Berlin branch. And that also has a warm water pool inside as well.
The downtown location is really ideal for people in the downtown area. It's a walkable distance, correct?
Yeah, it's located at 1991 Main Street, and it's located on the second floor. If you actually drive into the parking garage and go up to the second floor, you can park your car there and walk directly into the facility. So it's very convenient for folks downtown.
Okay. I'd like you to kind of summarize where the three locations of the Ys in the area are for those who are interested. Just like that young lady who called a few minutes ago, she may want to know which is the closest Y to her, whether it's convenient for her or not.
Very good. Like I said, our Babe Weiler branch located downtown at 1991 Main Street. We have the Frank G. Berlin Senior Branch, which is located at 1075 South Euclid. And we have our Evan Sadly A. Jones Branch, which is located at 8301 Potter Park Drive in the southern part of Sarasota.
Okay. I'd like all three of you to kind of join me in wrapping up what the vital support roles are for the YMCA in the Sarasota area. If you can just kind of, in a nutshell, state what the Y does. For those who didn't tune in at the beginning of the program, they may have missed some of the content we talked about here. The Y is just not only an athletic facility. It is much more, as I have heard this morning. But maybe you can very briefly elaborate on a lot of these services once again for everybody.
Well, as I mentioned before, we have a hippie program, which goes out in the community and meets with parents and their children in their homes. We have a sister program to that called YMCA Reads, which is a reading program for kindergarten through third graders, and that takes place in as part of our after-school programs. We also have a YMCA Achievers program, which works with middle school and high school students, and we try to get them ready for their futures, and we counsel them in personal development, college preparation, community service and leadership, and cultural enrichment and recreation. In addition to our Achievers program there, it's very heavily supported by scholarships. We have people that donate money to give as scholarships to these kids once they graduate high school, and it continues on into their college careers. We just had a breakfast for the Achievers, and about 72 kids received scholarships. And over the last, I think the scholarship program began in 2002, over 300 kids have received scholarships at a tune of over $400,000. So
wow.
It's very helpful for kids graduating and moving on to college. We have a program called Triad, and that's run and conducted with the Sarasota County School District. And that's for kids who might have committed an expellable offense And rather than them just being expelled from school, they come to our triad program, which is supported by the county school district. And we teach them and we mentor them and we get them prepared to return to their classrooms. And that program has been very successful because we have over a 90% success rate in kids that have graduated from our program that go back to school of not getting in trouble again. So that's a very good program. We have something that's fairly new called Schoolhouse Link, and that's a program where we help homeless kids here in Sarasota. Homeless kids have to go to school, too. And being homeless, they might move from location to location to try to find a place to sleep. And our program, once they're identified through the help of the schools, we help them with, let's say, breakfast and school lunches. We get them school supplies, and we help with transportation. If you can imagine a kid, one of the kids going to a certain school, having to move to a different home to live, maybe on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis, we actually provide transportation to allow that kid to keep attending the same school. So that part of their life is more secure. So that's a great program. And we also have family management services, which is a counseling service. We counsel kids. We counsel kids in schools. We also counsel families and try to resolve any problems that they may have before it escalates into a situation where the Safe Children's Coalition might have to get involved. So those are just some of the other programs that the Y offers. And a big part of this is run through the help of volunteers. The Y is always looking for volunteers, and if anybody out there would like to learn more about volunteer opportunities, feel free to call us at 941-951-2916.
Okay, great. And who would they call if they are interested in joining in a membership with the Y?
Well, they can call any one of our branches. And you can go online and look up what those phone numbers are.
We do have some computer illiterate people out there, so perhaps you can throw those phone numbers out very quickly.
Yes, I can. The Babe Wyler branch, which is located downtown, is phone number 366-6778. And the Berlin branch, which is located on South Euclid, phone number is 955-8194. And the ESJ branch, which is located on Potter Park Drive, the phone number is 922-9622.
Great. Ed, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, Gary, I just wanted to say, listening to Paul, this YMCA really closes the loop for this community citizens. All those programs that try and keep families together by strengthening them, and when that doesn't work, of course, the Safe Children Coalition is the end result in many cases. You talked about the economy. We're very much affected by that economy. It puts a lot of stress on families and oftentimes may lead to abuse or neglect, substance abuse, which are all reasons that children come into the foster care system. So we continually, our goal is not to expand, it's to retract and to strengthen the programs that we currently have and get better at what we do. Because of continued demand, we're always looking for people who are interested in being foster and adoptive parents, and I would encourage anyone that is interested in that and would like to find out more information, or if they just want to volunteer in some capacity with the Safe Children Coalition, to call 1-866-661-5656. Somebody will take that call, give them as much information as they need, and we'd love to hear from them.
Great. I'd like to thank all three of you for coming in today. I think everybody who's been listening has a much better perspective on the entire operation of the YMCA. We've been talking with Paul Smith. And, Paul, you have one more thing to add?
Yeah, I'd like to put an offer out there for anybody who would like to come in and see what our YMCA is all about. Anybody that emails me by this Friday, June 25th at noon, I will send you a free 5-day pass, which would allow you to experience the YMCA on your own to see what we're all about, and just experience it and come in and take advantage of all the services that the Y has to offer. So you can email me at psmith@thesarasotay.org. And if you do it by noon on Friday the 25th, I'll send you a free 5-day pass.
Sounds like a great offer. We've been talking with Paul Smith, Layla McCarty, and Ed McBride of our YMCA in Sarasota. Folks, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And it's time for us to take leave. We have to say that ideas expressed on this program do not reflect the position of WSLR station management or board of directors. This program has been underwritten by the Banyan Theater Company, presenting three plays, Ghosts, The Drawer Boy, and Sideman, this summer at the Jane B. Cook Theater at the FSU Center for Performing Arts in Sarasota. More information regarding the plays is available at 941-358-5330 or the website at www.banyantheatercompany.com. Time to say goodbye. We're going to have MC Coolidge as the guest next week on Between the Lines. That should be a lot of fun. We've had her on programs here before. She is very entertaining, and she has some very interesting opinions. I'm sure you'll enjoy that. So we will plan on seeing you again next week, 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning.